Greetings, barbecue family. Happy Easter weekend. Yes. Kenyatta Robinson here, joined by my lovely wife, Janine. How are you doing this evening?
Doing okay.
All right, all right. It's what we like to call, or at least what Janine like to call, Open Mic Friday for some reason. But for the last Friday of the month, what we like to do is just keep the topic, not really have a firm set topic, just keep things pretty light. Yeah. And open things up to the viewing audience, those who are watching us live on either YouTube or Facebook, or also tuning in on the Backyard Smokemaster Barbecue website. We welcome you to come in with your comments and any questions that you have. We're here to talk about barbecue and really hoping to hear from you guys, because that's the engine that really drives the show. Let me just start off though. One of the videos that working on and hoping to get onto the channel pretty soon has to do with doing the debate between doing 3-2-1 ribs versus no wrap ribs. So I'll start this off by asking you. Oh, wait, we do have a comment. Let me, before I ask that question, got to get to the comments. True. So we've got, is that HRV Art? Okay. Give me a shout out, Harvey the editor. Okay.
Oh, hey.
Okay, so this is Harvey, who is someone I'm working with for the first time. Good to see you on the podcast here. Yep, it kind of threw me off, the user tag. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're working on a video right now. Mm-hmm. Hoping to get that up sometime this weekend. We're pretty much there.
I think it's looking promising.
On that video. But yeah, so getting back to what I was going to ask you is, with regard to 3-2-1 ribs, do you know what 3-2-1 ribs are?
I can admit to everyone, I did not know. I know the idea, but I didn't know that's what it was formally called.
Okay, so it's basically like an acronym for a concept. Mm-hmm. It's basically a method for doing ribs. So that's my question. Do you know why it's called 3-2-1, or do you have any?
See, you always give me, to me, you give me the tough questions. If I'm being perfectly honest, I think it might have to do with how long you're cooking, and then you're resting or you're switching it out to another method. So let's say you started off with no foil for a 3, maybe look at it, check on it, then you foil it for 2, and then you do something else for the 1, and I don't know what that 1 is.
Okay. No, that was, you know, you're on the right track.
Yes.
And actually, yeah, while you were talking, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what's going on with my overlay here. Oh, okay, there we go. Now okay, I got it.
We're back.
Got it right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was a good stall tactic. And it worked. No, so the 3-2-1 method, basically, yeah, you're right. It has to do with lengths of time. Mm-hmm. And it became really popular. I want to say, I don't know. I don't really know exactly when it became popular or who made it popular. But I think some of the guys that were competing.
Yeah, I figured it's a competition thing.
Yeah, on the TV shows. Yeah. Maybe it was Tuffy Stone or Sherry Sue or Myron Mixon. I don't know which one of them probably made it really popular. I think I've heard that maybe it was Tuffy Stone.
Okay.
But basically, the idea is, in order to, like, a foolproof way to get your ribs, and we're talking pork ribs, so we're talking baby backs.
And St. Louis style.
Yeah, spare ribs, St. Louis style ribs. The foolproof, surefire way that anyone barbecuing at home can get their ribs super tender. I think initially it was, you started off by smoking your ribs at 225 degrees. That seemed to be the rule starting off.
So it's like low and slow?
Very low and slow.
Okay.
And the first 3 hours, your ribs are on the smoker and they're not wrapped. They're naked. They're just on the smoker, taking in the smoke flavor for the first 3 hours at 225 degrees. So that's the three. Mm-hmm. And then the two, the second number, the mm-hmm. two, is then you wrap your ribs for yep. 2 hours in aluminum foil.
Okay.
And a lot of times, especially when I started to really get into barbecue, what I saw was during that 2 hour window when you get ready to wrap your ribs, mm-hmm. a lot of folks will then add something to it.
Like mustard or something like that, or apple juice.
Definitely not applesauce.
Apple juice okay. or water? What are they adding?
Yeah, so it could be a number of possibilities. Like it could be apple juice, mm-hmm. it could be apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. but then also you might add a few pats of butter, mm-hmm. and then also, especially on the competition circuit, I saw a lot of people adding brown sugar or maybe honey. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, we would start to see people adding things mayo,
like mayonnaise.
No, mayo, mustard, those are like binders. Uh-huh. So okay. that's what you would use in the prep phase with your meat. And you're using some type of a binder to help the rub adhere and okay. stick to the meat. So okay. you're thinking of things like that.
Okay.
But no, so the second hour, the two and the 3-2-1 is usually to add, it's to add like another layer of flavor, mm. and then wrapping it tight in the foil, mm-hmm. and that is going to really tenderize the meat. Okay. That's what really got the ribs super duper tender. Usually by at the end of that 2 hour window, by then your ribs are ready to just fall off the bone.
Okay.
But then I think for a lot of people, especially on the competition circuit, because that's not what you want. Fall off the bone ribs
seems like it's overcooked.
Is not what is going to win you anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel like it's overcooked, mm-hmm. mushy. There's an argument about that.
Sure.
But that's how it might be viewed on the competition circuit.
But what about the backyard?
But in the backyards, a lot of people were falling in love with fall off the bone.
Me too.
But then to firm it up for that, the third number is the one. 3 hours naked, unwrapped, 2 hours wrapped in foil.
Is the 1 hour a rest?
And then 1 hour, it's unwrapped. Mm. And the idea is to give it time to firm it up a little bit so that it's not quite as fall off the bone, got mushy. It. And then a lot of times, when you get to the end of that last hour, maybe the last 20 minutes or so, mm-hmm. a lot of people, that would be the time where you might sauce your ribs.
If you sauce. Right. Because I don't think I used to believe sauce was just the it. But since you've prepared ribs in so many different ways, so many different rubs, I've come around to your line of thinking, and I think I'm not anti-sauce, but I think I'm more without it than with it.
So I feel like the sauce should be optional. I think whatever you're barbecuing, if it's ribs, chicken, whatever, beef, I think that, unless you're doing burnt ends, I think that your meat should be able...
belly. You got to
sauce. Well, pork belly burnt ends or... brisket, beef burnt ends, mm-hmm. brisket burnt ends, poor man burnt ends, mm-hmm. all of those, the whole intent is to get them nice and sweet and succulent at and the saucy. End with the sauce. But otherwise, I feel like your barbecue, your final product should be able to stand on its own with or without sauce.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my opinion. And then it's up to the person who's eating it whether or not they want to add sauce to it. But it shouldn't have to. The sauce kind of can either complement what you've already cooked.
Or hide it.
Yeah, or it can mask it, hide it, drowning it in the sauce or whatever. I'm one that, unless I'm doing burnt ends, I'm not thinking about trying to have sauce at the end. So... yeah. That's basically the 3-2-1 method. And then what we have seen, especially over the last couple of years, is a couple of things. People have realized that 3-2-1, that's a minimum 6 hours cook on the smoker. And you don't necessarily have to do it that way.
Mm.
You
know, but for it instance, is tried and true.
It's tried and true, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay.
You could smoke your ribs at a higher temperature, for instance. You could go 250, you could go 275. Mm. You don't have to do 225. Mm-hmm. And Mike says, howdy. Hey, a fellow Northern Californian is in the house. So glad to see you, Mike. Thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely.
We are also in the Northern California. We're in the Bay Area.
Yes, we are. And it is cold today and rainy.
Yeah, I thought we were past the winter rains, but I guess it's still early spring, so it's good. It's good.
If it gets colder, I'm always holding out hope. I know it's real late in the season, but I'm always holding out hope that maybe we'll get a little snow on Mount Diablo, which is always exciting for some reason. We got this amazing, about a week ago, double rainbow. I don't know if you saw it. It was so superb. It was just like, oh my gosh. It was visually just so stimulating and beautiful. It was bright and just so saturated. And I was like, wow, this is like a kind of a treat.
But did you take a picture?
No.
Of course.
Because I don't want to be those people that pull over on the side of the road and then that's your focus. And your focus should just really be on driving. But it was just so beautiful that I was like, oh, this is so nice. Thank you. So I might not get snow, but I did get a double rainbow.
Okay.
I'll take it any day.
Mike asked, are you still using the Mac?
Oh.
So, yes. Actually, another one of the videos we have coming out actually is not going to be about the Mac, but it is going to be about my newest pellet grill, which is from a company called Z Grills. Mm-hmm. So they actually sent this grill to me, and I'm running it through its paces, and we're going to do a walk around kind of initial thoughts about the Z Grills. But with that in mind, it got me again going back to thinking about, like with the Mac and with other pellet grills, people ask, what is your position or how do you feel about pellet grills? I think Mike, who came on the podcast last week from Bones Barbecue, I think he asked me how I felt about pellet grills, and this would include the Mac. I think pellet grills are great to have.
Yeah.
If you're really getting into barbecue, I would encourage everyone to try your hand at a charcoal grill. Learn how to manage temperatures and cook with barbecue. Cook with charcoal, and then you can enhance that flavor with wood chunks to get smoke flavor.
Yeah.
Even though they sell the wood chips everywhere, leave the wood chips on the shelves in the store. Go with the wood chunks.
It's almost like sawdust. It just doesn't last at all. It doesn't have any flavor. I think it's just a cheap thing that you should stay away from, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with that. So leave the wood chips in the store.
Yeah.
Instead of getting a gas grill, I feel like the pellet grill is like the perfect replacement alternative to getting a gas grill.
In fact, we donated ours.
Yeah, our gas grill had been sitting in our garage for years.
Yeah,
so
it really
we
has.
Were finally able to move it. Get it out of there.
And it was beautiful. It was lovely. It was this really pretty burgundy color, and it looked new. And it was because there's just so many other options out there that completely eclipsed it. And yeah, I was living in the garage, and I'm trying to clean out the garage. Yeah, so it'd be lovely to clean out more things. But it started with that grill, and I'm glad it found a new home.
Your gas grill is convenient. Yeah. It's easy to use. Just turn the knob. The disadvantage is you're not going to get any smoke flavor.
Zero.
I know there's some things you can get, like a smoke tube or something like that, to try and add some smoke flavor.
Isn't that a lot of effort?
It's effort, but even the smoke tube, essentially what you use inside of a smoke tube is you're burning pellets. You might as well just go and get a pellet grill instead of a gas grill. So the advantages of having a pellet grill are it's just as easy as using a gas grill, maybe even easier, because most of them have digital controllers. You You can set your temperature, just dial up the number that you want. And then the pellet grill is going to do the work for you. Yeah. Especially the well-made ones, the good ones are going to, the temperature is going to moderate. If you set it to 250, the temperature is going to go maybe down to 225, maybe go up as high as 275.
But that's acceptable, right?
It's acceptable, yeah. Because generally it will average out around that 250 that you want. Really easy to use, yes, it is. Really convenient. Really good, like on a weeknight after work, and you don't have time or the energy to be trying to fuss around and manage temperatures with a charcoal or even a stick burner. You just want something quick and easy, but you want it to be barbecue. Mm-hmm. So you can do that with a pellet grill, pellet smoker.
Yeah, you even said one time that you could just almost like set it and forget it, which I thought was like,
well, that's the idea. You set the temperature. And yeah, you set it and forget it. You really don't have to do anything once you got it punched, that temperature that you want punched in. There's not really much else that you need to do. So
monitor the pellets, right, at a certain point, getting a little.
Yeah, just make, yeah. Unless you're doing like a brisket or something. Yes,
I think that's what you were doing at the time.
That might be a case where you need to keep an eye on the amount of pellets that you have in the hopper. Eventually,
you don't
want them to run out. Yeah, but
burn through.
For most things, especially if you top off the hopper, you should be fine. With all that being said, as far as the Mac, I have had my Mac One Star General. I can't even remember.
About 5 years?
It's definitely more than 5 years. Yeah, probably more like 7 or 8 years that I've had it. Mm-hmm. It is still works like a charm. Really well made, built like a tank.
Yeah,
I like that. They've added some things, some upgrades that you can get initially. The version that I have was really only good for smoking at low and slow temperatures, but they added an accessory, I'm blanking on the exact name of it.
Well, probably one of the listeners will know what it's called.
But yeah, there's like an add-on accessory that they had that you could buy that will allow you to essentially turn your low and slow Mac cooker into one that can also do high temperatures. Mm-hmm. And I did add that to my Mac a few years ago, and it works
pretty good.
It works great.
The reason why I know that you still like the Mac is the placement in our backyard. Because I don't know if you've done the tour of the backyard. You have a lot of what I used to call toys, but I know that those are precious equipment. And just, it never moves from its location. So I figure you still really are enjoying it because it's in a prominent spot in our backyard.
It's still in a prominent spot. But okay, so that's another thing about having a pellet grill is that obviously it has to be near an electrical outlet.
That's one of the reasons. I thought it was because you're still in love with it.
I mean, I do. Using it all the time. But yeah, now it's been in that one position because it's close to an electrical outlet.
Yeah, okay, now I get it. So we have a question about what are you cooking for Easter?
Okay, I wanted to talk about this.
Okay.
So this is the add-on that I added to my Mac One Star. It's the Flame Zone.
Uh-huh.
So this is like an internal insert that you can add to your, if you have an older Mac, that will then give it even more capabilities.
So it almost extends its life by giving you more options to use it on.
Well, it extends the life, but then also it just gives it more versatility. Most of the newer pellet smokers that you buy now they are capable right from the gate of cooking both low and slow and hot and fast.
So, but six, seven years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that wasn't the case. Okay. That was a big criticism about pellet grills. And to some extent, it still is. The question of, can they get hot enough to sear a steak? So now when you're buying a pellet grill these days,
it does that already.
ideally it should. It should be able to get up at least 450, 500 degrees.
So that's something you should look for, right? So if you're looking around and you're not finding one that can get to that temperature, then maybe you should look someplace else, it sounds.
I think you'd be hard pressed to buy a new pellet grill today that doesn't tout its ability to get hot like that. Let's get to Eric's question. So what are you cooking for Easter? Unfortunately, I'm not doing anything super extravagant for Easter. I've been voluntold by Janine here that I am to smoke some stuff, some bacon. It's just bacon. I'm supposed to smoke some bacon for the church because they're having some things brought in from various people for Easter Sunday. So I've been told that I need to smoke my bacon.
Now you can do whatever you want. You can add additional meats, additional proteins that we can eat. But the church only needed that thing, that one protein. And I said, yeah, I think Ken will do it and he'll do a good job. And they all were so excited. Even though you think it's a small little thing, it's just going to mean a lot to them.
I know. And that's why I'm doing it. And it's easy. But my bacon is good.
It's
my
so bacon good.
Off of the smoker.
Oh my God.
Is good. And yeah. Actually, if it's not raining, I probably will make a video out of it.
That's right.
I have my own method for smoking the bacon.
It's delicious.
It's slow smoked, but it really does render all that fat out and get a lot of nice bacon flavor. Grease.
No, the flavor, and, smoke flavor comes through.
Yeah.
It's going to be delicious. I'm looking forward to it. And everyone at churches. So the word has spread and they're all looking forward. But for those who don't know, we're having an Easter brunch. So it's just perfect for that.
So yeah, Eric, that's all right. Janine already bought a honey baked ham.
I did. I cheated. You know,
I'm going to do my bacon. So I don't have any plans, unfortunately, to do anything else.
You could maybe do something else if you wanted. You know, I'm not closing the door on it.
Nope.
You're obviously your eyeballs and videos. So, and I just didn't want to put a lot of pressure on you this year. So I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. No, it's no apologies needed. I'm just being honest. I wish I had a more exciting answer for Eric about what I'm smoking for Easter. But let me know in the comments what you guys are doing for
absolutely.
Easter.
I'd like
you
to know.
Definitely would like to know if you're doing like a turkey or maybe you're doing a prime rib.
Or maybe you're doing it simple. I've had a taste for some smoked deviled eggs. I've had a taste for like desserts. Just really cool, different things that maybe don't take a lot of time, but bring the flavor. That's important to me. So I really would like to hear what folks are going to be cooking.
Yeah. So moving on. Two-Bit Smoke Show says, hello from Charleston, South Carolina.
It's one of my favorite places. Oh my God, they had the best grits I've ever had. Like they were so ridiculously good. Unbelievable.
I haven't been, so I can't say.
Beautiful state, just gorgeous. People were so nice, and the food was so good. So, yeah, I could go back.
All right. So he asked, have you made a video recently touring your backyard showing all of your current smokers?
Nope.
No, there is a video that I did a few years ago.
But you've added to your collection.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
The collection has probably changed quite a bit
since then.
I don't even think I had my Weber Summit Kamado when we did that video.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I probably have, they're all, not all in the backyard, but
I
think I do own probably.
I think so too.
Grills and smokers.
And some of them are in my garage.
Well, no, there's just the only thing in the garage I think is like a little Smoky Joe.
Really?
That's it.
So when I go in the garage, I'm just seeing what? I'm seeing a ton of wood. I'm seeing lump charcoal. Anyway,
that wasn't the question.
Yeah, I know, but so, I thought that there were several buried in the garage. So
no, there's just the little Smoky Joe.
Right.
There are a couple of grills over at my parents' house in their backyard.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about it. I probably should do another video that does a tour of what we got in the backyard.
Now, are you going to leave those grills over at your parents?
Yeah, that was the idea, was that way if I wanted to barbecue while I was over at their house, that I could.
What's over there?
I just have a Weber Master Touch,
okay,
a kettle over there, and then also a Pit Barrel Junior.
Ah, okay.
That I left over there.
Okay.
Yeah, but then we got some new stuff in the yard, so that's a good suggestion. We should probably do another tour. What we got in the backyard. All right, 2Bit says, wow, I would love to watch that video of 15 smokers. Cannot wait for that video to get posted. Yeah, that's definitely something. Because, yeah, definitely we got a couple of Hunsaker drum smokers in the backyard. We've got the LSG offset smoker.
You got a gift for Christmas.
Yeah, we got the new Weber Smoky Mountain. We got the Z Grills, Backyard Warrior, that's the newest pellet grill, and then we still have the Mac One Star General.
Mm-hmm. We even have a flat top back there, which I like when you cook on that,
because I know you need to see what's happening. I haven't used the flat top in quite a while, Camp Chef.
And you have a fryer back there.
Yeah, I do have a fryer. It's a deep fryer, and I have to admit, I have not been using it. I just hate the way the process for lighting it and getting it ignited. Yeah, it's a challenge,
right?
Not really a challenge, but it's a little scary, to be honest, when you get it lit up. It sounds like an airplane getting ready to take off. So, yeah, I've been a little bit gun-shy with that fryer back there. Aww. Hello, Rodney. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And then we got Mike.
Hey.
Mike says, hey, guys, hope all is well. Okay, it's Mike. That's right. I didn't recognize the last name. But, Mike from Bones Barbecue. Thanks for tuning in, Mike.
All right.
Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, that podcast episode out, but Mike joined us last week, and we had a great conversation talking about barbecue. So you can definitely catch that replay if you haven't seen it already on the YouTube channel. So again, like I started off talking about the 3-2-1 ribs.
Yep.
And speaking of Mike, and then Mike as well as Q Belly's barbecue, they've gotten me to move completely away from doing the wrap ribs. So now I'm thinking, I don't want to do wrap anymore. Joe really convinced me of Q Belly's barbecue. He really convinced me that you don't need to wrap. Mm. We're going to get a video out talking about that.
Good. I think so. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, so basically you smoke at a higher temperature than 225. Like if you go 275. Mm-hmm. You can get it done in about four and a half hours tops.
That's pretty reasonable, right? It's not bad.
Yeah, and the ribs are going to be tender.
I remember my daddy over his equipment, and it was like a labor of love, and it was hours and hours. So I think if you can speed it up and still get really good results, I'm for it.
Did your dad, did he wrap his ribs?
He did not. He never did. And from the get-go, he never wrapped them. And I think that's right. I really do.
So he probably was going really low and slow.
He was.
Because I just remember him talking about having them out there for seven, 8 hours. So he must have been smoking them at maybe 200 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Something really low and slow.
And it worked. They were delicious. It was my first memory of just really good ribs. But I think he would have appreciated knowing that this is another method. And I think he would have tried it. And I think he would have liked it. That's just my little opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking about that. Your dad was very set in his ways. I don't know.
I think he would have tried it. I do think he would have tried it.
It would have took a lot of convincing, though, to get him to try it.
Yeah, but I think he would have had you demonstrate it, and then he would have tried it. And I do think he would have done that, as long as you demonstrated it.
All right, if you say so. Okay. Now, Rodney says, oh, wow, I've watched several of your lives, and my comments were never seen. I enjoy your channel, and I'm a new subscriber.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry that we didn't see your comments before, Rodney. But I'm glad that we see them now.
Absolutely. And
glad to hear that you're a subscriber. So definitely, don't be a stranger. Tune in to the lives.
That's right.
We're doing it every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific. So definitely thank you for tuning in and continue to leave comments as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. One thing I do admire about you, you answer pretty much anything that you receive. So hopefully you'll be on the lookout for Rodney because it looks like he might have a few questions.
Absolutely. All right. Mike says the thing with the 3-2-1 method is you can only, let's see what, you can not only eat a few ribs.
That's right.
There is so much sweetness. Yep. Sweetness and it fills you up. Mm-hmm. It's a great method for competition or if you want to wow some folks at a backyard cookout. Yeah, I totally agree.
I agree.
Yeah, if you watch the YouTube videos that do tout to 3-2-1, they're all, like I said, at that 2-hour middle mark when you're wrapping, they're, most of them are encouraging you to add some brown sugar or add some honey. It's like the go-to competition.
Like a part of the Bible.
Yes. Yeah, when I judged at a few contests, KCBS contests, that was, it was like the ribs. They all had the same, they were all going for that sweet, sweet and savory.
Yeah.
And it wore me out with it.
But if that's the standard, then that they know that. And so that's just how you do it.
Yeah, it's just like when a good football team, it's a copycat league. When something is working, everybody else wants to do it. So when folks were winning big money with their ribs, doing it that way, then everyone else wants to do it as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Mike's point. Also, 3-2-1 works great if you want to really wow over some folks at a backyard cookout because they're just going to be so tender.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Correctional officer for lockdown.
All right. I like the whole name and everything.
Yeah, and he's one of our regulars.
Yes, he is.
Says hello, Kenyatta, and your wife. You two are awesome.
Aww,
we appreciate that. Appreciate that for sure. I guess just put a bow on the 3-2-1.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? Do you advocate for the 3-2-1 because you like to fall off the bone.
I do. I mean, those are my best memories. My dad is not here anymore. That's how he prepared it. I'm just a little bit set in my ways. I have tried quite a few of your ribs and I like most of the ways that you've prepared them. So I can adjust. It's just that I think in my heart, I like it that way.
Okay, but again, you said your dad didn't rap.
He did not.
But yeah, he definitely was going for the fall off the bone.
Oh, absolutely. That was his standard. It wasn't just that he was going for it. It was going to be that way. And he was very consistent with it.
Yeah, he was very consistent.
Oh, absolutely.
So me, on the other hand, I'm always trying new stuff.
Yes, you do. Almost every week, there's something new. Yeah, and I'm happy with that.
I like to experiment.
I like to eat.
I like learning from other folks and seeing what they're doing. I'm a copycat guy, too, so I like to try some stuff.
But that's flattery. You can copy somebody and because you like what they do, and then you can figure out ways to do it or make it better. That's flattery. You're flattering them.
Now, speaking of being flattered, now here comes Mike says, Janine's voice is so comforting.
Oh.
Wow. All right, Mike.
Don't you have absolutely nothing to worry about.
No, and again, shout out to Mike.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't know when he came onto the podcast that he and his wife had just had a newborn.
Yay.
And I want to say the newborn was only, I think it was 6 days old, I believe.
So
I think that's what Mike said.
Oh,
and yet and still, he still kept his word and came onto the podcast. So I always indebted to you for doing that. Definitely appreciate it.
And he talks about it, too. I think he had a good time. He's not just flattering you, Mike. He really did enjoy that conversation.
I did.
So hopefully you'll come back and be in this chair.
It'll be a virtual chair. Because Mike is down in Southern California. Yes. But yeah, definitely looking forward to having Mike back on as well as Joe. Yeah, definitely. All right, Rodney says, I love all things barbecue and I enjoy the art of smoking. I would love to see you make some videos on making your own sausage. Oh, your own sausage.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Yeah.
If it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Sausage is not a simple process.
Yeah, Rodney, I have not tried to make my own sausage.
Yeah, but we could get equipment. I could research that for you. And we just need the casings and then the ingredients that go in the casing. I've seen so many cooking shows on how to make it. I just think that I didn't know that might appeal to you, but I'm willing to do the research and help you out so that I
know a lot of people will take, for instance, with the ribs, I like to get rid of those shiners at the end, those two little small bones that aren't going to make for good eating. And there's also the little, sometimes there's a little flap of meat on when you're getting your ribs prepared.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will take that and make sausage out of that, as well as with the, when you're trimming your brisket down.
Yeah. And the leftover pieces.
Yeah, ideally you're getting rid of a lot of the fat, but eventually sometimes you are cutting away some meat too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely good use when you're cutting down their meat and getting it ready instead of just chunking it into the trash.
Which we don't do anymore, right? Because now we're composting.
Yeah.
Total sore spot. I know.
Yeah, we want to talk about that California, these new requirements.
Oh my gosh, there's so many requirements.
But that's pretty interesting. And you can see Janine here is pretty enthusiastic about the idea.
I would love to.
Like she already knows more about it than I do. That might be something we'll have to do.
I think that would be delicious. And then we could slice it up and... Oh my God, that just sounds so good. That's just, I'm there. So I'm more than happy to do, I will do that research for you with Belzone.
Yeah, I'm envisioning it.
Yeah, you should.
That would be a pretty nice undertaking to take on.
Yeah, thanks for the idea.
And it definitely falls in my wheelhouse of wanting to try some new stuff.
I think so too.
And 2-Bit Smoke Show is saying that you're spot on.
Oh, hey.
Says that Janine is correct. There are a lot of videos on making sausages.
Mm-hmm.
It looks difficult, but could be fun.
Yeah,
a lot of YouTubers and Meet Your Maker equipment. They use Meet Your Maker. Okay, so that's a brand.
That is a brand.
Okay.
Okay.
Huh. Meet Your Maker equipment to make sausages.
Mm-hmm.
A good sponsorship opportunity.
Oh, yeah, I think so. He's going to do a little research behind the scenes.
Let me see here. Meet Your Maker. Let's see what we get here.
Yeah.
So this is what's...
I miss producer Aaron.
Well, no, this is what's cool about having the podcast and getting the interaction.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got some knowledge and things to share. And I love learning about some new stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the Meet Your Maker website.
Okay.
Chop, grind, and save. Okay. Yeah. And there's looks like the grinder there.
I think it might be I think the grinder is there in the middle.
Yeah.
Because you're going to feed it and then it's going to extrude out into a little, I don't know what they call it, but some kind of a little, not sleeve, but a tube, like a membrane.
$500.
That's not bad.
It'd be cool if we could get them to send us one.
And then we could try it out.
That would be even
We're not turning
better.
It down.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that tip. Yeah. I'm definitely going to keep this page open.
Oh, please do.
To look more into that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a great idea.
correctional officer for lockdown says, how do you prepare your lamb on the grill? Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not a lamb guy.
No, we are not. We just did not grow up liking it, and we just haven't ventured down that path. And I honestly, I just can't, normally I'm like, yeah, let's try it, but it just doesn't talk to me. But I'd like to hear how others prepare it and why they love it.
Yeah.
I want to really be convinced to try it.
My dad would love for me to try it.
Yeah, he would.
Because he's always asking me about doing lamb.
Well, he's from the country, too. They're pretty much eating anything.
They tell him that you said that. Boy, oh boy, that he is from the country.
He wouldn't. How could he dispute that? That's the truth.
No, he moved to California, the Bay Area, I think when he was like 9. He basically grew up here, but that's all right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I've never heard of anyone marinating lamb meat. Can it be smoked? Now, I'm pretty confident it can be smoked.
Yeah, the smoking part is, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, but I think you can pretty much do anything low and slow. Janine mentioned deviled eggs. Oh, yeah. You can do eggs on the smoker.
Yes.
We've talked about this before. I've even heard about people smoking ice. Smoke the water, and then you get that smoke flavor in it, and then you freeze it, make ice cubes.
What would that drink be? Is it like an old-fashioned? What needs to have a smoky flavor?
Yeah, I think an old-fashioned, okay. Definitely. Okay. Definitely, you could level up.
I would like to see that. I would be down for that. We could just have our smoked ice. We can do a little taste test.
I need more time.
All right, that's a good one.
The job, the regular job. Yeah. Keeping me from being able to do all this great stuff.
Yeah.
When there's only so much time in the evening and on the weekend.
But now we have the ingredients for an old fashioned. I've seen all, not that we have a bar back there, but we do have quite a few ingredients.
That's right. Harvey says, I'm looking forward to for some dry aged barbecue in the future.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, when I really started to get into barbecue, I also was really interested in dry aging some steaks. Yeah. I never got around to buying, because they were selling these like dry age, I don't want to call them refrigerators, similar to a refrigerator type device.
But that's special.
Yeah, specific for dry aging. I think there was a company that I remember was making a lot of waves, but I don't know. I don't think it really worked out well. I think there might have been some issues. I don't know. It scared me off, and I never did really go down that road. But I think that's another avenue to look at. Because I would like to know the difference in the taste.
Yeah, absolutely.
They say it's a very distinct, unique taste when you have dry aged beef. That it's definitely different.
You think it has more flavor? Because that's my theory, is that it brings more.
I just remember hearing folks describe it as a nutty flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it's more, I'm not sure. But I think it's a kind of a either you like it or you don't, is my understanding. All right, 2-Bit Smoke Show says, yeah, everything that they sell on the Meet Your Maker website has a lifetime warranty as well, which is super cool. Yeah, that is good. That's good to know.
I guess the other question is the shipping free?
Yeah. Again, when you're buying something that's in that price range and with that amount of weight, I don't think you can really expect the shipping to be free.
All right.
Yeah, that's more smaller things. But yeah, I do have a thing about, paying exorbitant prices for shipping.
Yes, I know.
All right, Rodney says.
Oh, it's free!
You're jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead. Okay.
Sorry.
So let me jump ahead.
All right, you go ahead and jump ahead.
So 2-Bit Smoke Show confirms that the shipping is free.
Yes.
So they've baked in the shipping with the cost of the Meet Your Maker. So that's good to know.
It's very smart.
Okay, and let's go back to Rodney.
Absolutely.
Stop jumping ahead.
Yes,
so Rodney says, I made some bologna out of brisket. Best bologna I've ever had.
You said you were going to try that.
You control the ingredients instead of eating meat with fillers. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's another video that I do want to make.
Absolutely.
Is, smoking bologna.
Yum. And I love bologna.
But see, Rodney's taking it even further, mm-hmm. though, because not only did is he doing... I'm assuming that he smoked this, but he did a brisket, and then out of the brisket, he made his own bologna.
Wow. I'm in awe of that. That just sounds beyond delicious. Love brisket. You know how much I love brisket. And then to turn it into bologna, that just sounds like that's one of the ultimate. I would really like you to take on that challenge. Pretty pleased.
Like I said, hopefully maybe we can get a sponsor deal, or maybe Janine will put something under the tree for me this year.
I make my little, in the back of my mind, and I have little notes of things that you are showing interest in. And so, we'll try to remember this.
Okay.
Yes, I will do that.
And Rodney says, good night, guys, boarding my plane.
Oh, fly safe.
All right. Yeah, definitely have safe travels.
Sounds like maybe he's flying for Easter.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Thank you for tuning in and again for subscribing and for chiming in with some comments. Definitely appreciate it and hope that you, again, travel safe and
come back
and make sure you join us again. All right.
This has really flown by. So funny how the time just flies by.
Yeah, I see we're almost an hour in, and it does appear that the comments and things are coming, slowing down. So this might be a good point for us to say goodnight as well.
That's right.
But again, I do want to thank everyone for tuning in.
It was really fun.
Yeah, always appreciate it. Again, it's always even better when we have good interaction from everyone.
Absolutely.
Because again, that really helps drive the show. And we'd love to answer questions and respond to everyone's comments. Again, so Mike is asking that question again. Oh, what's everyone cooking for Easter?
Yeah, y'all should respond and let us know.
Need to know what everyone else is cooking for Easter.
That's right.
Because again, I'm just going to mainly be eating. I'm going to be smoking some bacon the night before Easter for church. And eating some of this honey-baked ham which Janine has already bought.
Yeah, which I'm sorry, but I really didn't want to put any extra pressure on you this time around. Because you have so many videos that you're producing, and I just thought to make it easy. Let's just keep it simple. Next time, I'll raise the bar.
Whatever you guys do, again, we're always encouraging everyone, get out there, use your grills, your smokers.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing like making your own food in your own backyard. You're in control of the ingredients and the entire process, and it's really rewarding. It's like what is the word I'm looking for? Self-gratification, but then you're also making the ones around you
happy.
Extremely happy as well. Yeah, Mike. Okay, that's where I need to be.
We gotta come visit.
Yeah, Mike is got some hams going, some ribs, and tri-tips.
Wow.
That sounds great.
That does sound good.
And not to be left out, 2-Bit Smoke Show says that he's going to try to smoke oxtails. That's also on our list. He's going to do oxtails for the first time for Easter. And he's going to see which is better, the Smokin' Brothers Pellet Smoker or the Primo XL400.
Mm.
Now, see, I would argue or I would bet that you'll have an easier time with the pellet smoker.
Absolutely.
Set it and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would put my money on the Primo just because you're going to be cooking with charcoal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean that way. That's going to be my prediction.
You have a question about the price of a used
grill. You're jumping ahead again. I like to go in the order that the comments are coming in.
Well.
But I did want to acknowledge Mike. Thanks again, Mike, for tuning in. And you have a great Easter as well. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, brother. And now, Janine, who likes to jump ahead, our correctional officer for lockdown, says, is $700 a decent price for a used Ranch Weber grill? Now, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't recall how much like a new Weber Ranch costs. I thought it was in that ballpark.
You don't think it's close to $1,000?
It could be, but I don't think it's much more than $800. Mm-hmm. Trying to see. Let me see. Let's go to the website.
Yeah, here. Let's take a look.
Because I feel like, I think $700.
You think that's a little high?
Might be a little high, but let me see. I wonder, but it's possible that they might not be selling the ranch.
Okay.
Right now. Let's see.
Okay. Oh, there it is.
The ranch.
Yeah. Oh.
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 Okay, I take that back. I had no idea.
Wow.
$1,850 brand new for a 37-inch. So, okay.
Yeah.
Scratch everything I just said.
Yeah.
If the one that you're looking at is in pretty good condition.
And it's only $700.
That's a steal.
I think you need to like go there and grab it right away.
Absolutely.
I remember when you went on that road trip to get the Hunsaker, and it was like you were like 3 or 4 hours away. So it was worth it, right? When the price is good, you should take action.
Yeah, I love a good price on a used grill that's in good condition.
Yeah.
A lot of people will buy them.
Yeah.
And they might cook on them once or twice.
They don't know what they're doing, maybe.
They're either getting discouraged or the excitement has quickly rubbed off.
Yeah.
And then it's just, or worn off. And then it's just sitting and not being used at all. And that's a great opportunity to score a new, not a new, but a lightly, gently used grill. So I would definitely say, if that ranch kettle is in pretty good shape, I would jump on that because I had no idea that they cost
that much.
$1,850.
Wow.
But yeah, it's huge. A 37-inch.
It is. It's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
Yeah. You can put that under my tree too, Janine.
Okay. We're going to have to up my Christmas budget. That would be nice.
I'm just saying.
And we know we should save that for the future to find out what people want on their Christmas list, if they could have one and it was filled with lovely smokers and equipment. What would make your Christmas list? So we'll save that.
Yeah, I think everyone
in Hanukkah
has an idea of what they would want for their next grill. But yeah, definitely. We got another comment coming in from Edison Johnson.
All right.
You and I met online being early buyers of Weber Summit Kamado. I've enjoyed following you ever since. Carry on. Oh, thank you, Edison. Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely one of the early adopters of the Summit Kamado.
Yeah.
When Weber came out with the Summit Charcoal, I was on the sidelines because the price was just a little bit more than I was comfortable spending at that time. And then when they rebranded the Summit Charcoal as the Summit Kamado,
I see.
And they made some changes to it. I didn't think that the changes that they made were too big of a deal. And they lowered the price.
That helps.
I was excited to be one of the first. And unfortunately, being one of the first, there were some issues.
Yeah, I think I remember some of those.
Yeah, the stand was wobbly.
Right.
I think that was pretty common. And then also the inside of the lower portion of my Summit Kamado also just had some manufacturing flaws.
Right. But they
corrected
fixed it.
Yeah,
right. But you had to advocate for them to send you whatever you needed to do to correct it, right? Because I remember there was a lot of back and forth with that one initially. I do remember that.
There was some back and forth, but I didn't have to fight hard to get them to replace it. No, they were readily...
They were amenable.
Yeah, to replacing it. And they replaced it, and they brought one out already put together, and all good. It's a great, highly versatile smoker, really high functioning, able to do pretty much anything that you throw at it. So I definitely give the Summit Kamado a stamp of approval.
Yep.
All right. Correctional officer for lockdown says a suggestion for the oxtails is to marinate them in Jim Beam or Jack Daniels.
That sounds so good. Yeah. Oh my God, that sounds good.
Yeah. Mm. I can see that. It might be a late Easter, something to do for Easter. I can see that. Just got to find where to get the oxtails. I think the last time I looked, I didn't see them at Sam's Club.
No, but I kind of think Winco has them. And they're pretty good with the butcher area. And I'm pretty sure they've got them.
When you see them, you need to get them.
I need a commitment.
I told you, if you bring them home, I will smoke them.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll take that as a commitment.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
I think you have some Jack Daniels.
I do. That's why I'm ready. I'm ready. All right.
Oh, he saw some.
Yeah, 2-Bit Smoke Show says he recently saw oxtails at Sam's Club.
I've never seen them at Sam's.
I think I've seen them there before.
Okay.
They may not be there like all the time. Mm-hmm. But definitely the next time I see them, for sure, I'm gonna get some.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here. But again, really appreciate you guys tuning in. Love the support, the feedback, and the comments, the questions. And it makes the time go by really quickly. Hope you all have a blessed and enjoyable holiday weekend. Yeah. Get out there, enjoy your grills and smokers. Make sure to tune in to us. We're here every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So signing off, this is Kenyatta Robinson, joined by my lovely wife, Janine. Thank you. Have a great evening.